A lot of Americans in their travels want to trace their roots, go back to the old country and see where great-great-grandma came from. And I suppose the little country in Europe that's had the biggest impact in that regard is Ireland. So many Americans count themselves as Irish heritage, and they want to go back to Ireland and find out all about their forefathers. I'm joined by two Irish tour guides who've spent quite a bit of time with Americans in Ireland, tracking down their family roots, Stephen McPhillamy and Barry Maloney. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Rick. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
So Ireland really is unique in the diaspora, isn't it?
We're a tiny nation on the fringe of Europe, 5 million people on the island, yet you have this diaspora of anything up to 80 million globally. But in the United States, it's estimated that there's 44 million Americans of Irish descent.
15%, one out of every six or seven Americans counts themselves as Irish.
Aye, and so that's there for the taking. It's there for us to exploit. It's there for us to welcome this diaspora back. You know that Ireland is in serious financial trouble. It's going to be more important to our travel industry in future.
This is true. This could be a big part of the tourism industry in Ireland. 40 million potential visitors from the United States.
Very true. Our first female president, Mary Robinson, she actually embraced that diaspora in her acceptance speech.
How did she embrace the diaspora?
She quoted W.B. Yeats and she said, "Come dance with me in Ireland." So she invited them to come back.
And do you notice that there's a lot of Americans coming back?
Oh, yes, definitely.
I would imagine you might even have a cynical attitude about these people who don't know the first thing about Ireland, and here they come, these, you know, loud-talking Yankees.
Yeah, I think there is a huge cynicism, maybe even a healthy one, about Americans coming back.
What would the cynicism be based on?
I wouldn't even say it's cynicism. It's just some people joke about them. They're like, "Oh, God, here's the Yanks coming back. Would you look at these people talking about their great-great-great-grandpa in Tipperary or something?" And so some Irish people laugh at that a lot. And we have an economist at home called David McWilliams, and he's saying, look, Israel, for example, cherishes its diaspora. Now we should do the same. We're in financial dire straits. These people have got goodwill towards Ireland.
Yeah.
They've got money. You know, let's welcome them back. Let's embrace them, just like Israel embraces its diaspora. Let's do the same.
So if you want to find your ancestry in Ireland, what do you do?
Well, my best advice, Rick, is to start on the American side. I suppose start where the trail is fresh, really. And there's an important reason for that as well, because in 1922, in our Civil War, our public records office was destroyed. A huge explosion.
That's devastating for anybody, any country trying to keep track of its roots.
Yeah, it was the Irish Republican Army set up their arms store around the public records office and it exploded. And they say, you know, just like confetti, the records landed all across the city up to 6, 7, 8 miles away. And that means today all that remains really is local church records.
Whoa, that's devastating. So you're saying Americans with Irish ancestry might find more information here in the States about their family tree?
Yes. If you can start here and work back towards, we'll say, for example, Ellis Island, and find a record in Ellis Island whose records are very, very good, I've heard, and becoming available online more so. In that record, you may hit gold dust by finding a town or a parish where they came from.
The town the or the records. Parish lets you connect with the parish records in Ireland.
Yes.
Does Ireland have some sort of a national census kind of information available online?
Yes.
Yeah. And on that point, see, well, of course, we were ruled by the British until 1922. And for all their faults, the British were great organisers and kept great records. So there are excellent detailed census that we have access to, or that your listeners or any American traveller coming over to do their research, there's great records. There may be more than other countries around the world that Americans may be looking to trace their ancestry in.
Now, I would imagine a lot of Americans who think they're Irish are actually Scots-Irish.
That's true.
What are the distinctions there? What should they know about, Barry?
Well, when you say the Scots-Irish, what you're referring to is a large mass of people who in the 17th century came from Scotland to live in the north of Ireland.
Right.
Mostly in the north of Ireland. Ulster, a place known as Ulster. And those people then, when the New World discoveries opened up and they heard of America where the streets are lined with gold, it was much easier for them to uproot from Northern Ireland. And
is it because they had the economic wherewithal?
Yes. And also their roots in Ireland weren't that deep.
I see. So they were Protestants in a foreign land. It would be easier for them to pick up and go to America than
still Celtic people though, Rick. Still the same people. So the Scottish and the Irish
people,
were very close.
Right.
But you see, the crucial point about the Scotch-Irish is over the years, a lot of people have come to me and said, "My grandma was Scottish, my great-grandpa was Irish, so I'm Scots-Irish." And I said, "Look, I hate to burst your bubble, but you're not. That means you're Scottish and you're Irish. The Scotch-Irish are this distinct ethnic group that Barry's just mentioned, who came from Scotland in the 1600s to Ulster for 100 years and then moved on. But here's two crucial points about the Scotch-Irish. They were nearly always Presbyterian, so it's very important to stress that. Mm-hmm. And they nearly always went to the southern United States, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia. You know, some of the greatest frontiersmen were Scots-Irish. Davy Crockett, his grandparents come from my town, Derry. 17 presidents of the United States have been of Scots-Irish background, from Buchanan to Wilson.
From Ulster.
Yeah, from Ulster, always Ulster.
And their roots go back to Scotland.
Originally Scotland, yeah.
Stephen, when you hear somebody's surname, can you read much into that?
Yeah, well, I think I have good skills at telling where someone's from. I mean, if someone tells me their surname, I think I've got about a 90% chance of guessing where their ancestry comes from. Like if someone says to me they're an O'Donnell, generally it's Donegal. If they're a Murphy, it's overwhelmingly, chances are they're from Cork, although there is another tribe of Murphys in South Armagh up in the north, which is much smaller and not related to the Southerners. If someone says Lynch, they're Galway and so on. You can get it wrong here and there, okay, but generally you'll
be
Barry's
right. So Barry's a Maloney, what does that mean to you?
Well, Maloney would be a Southern Irish name, so straight away you know it's from the south. Maloney, southwest, and I would have said Cork, Limerick, around that general area.
Yeah, spot on. Most of the Maloneys would be Limerick.
All right, Barry, Stephen's last name is McPhillamy.
Yeah, McPhillamy, the Mac would tend towards the north of Ireland. I don't want to offend Stephen.
Well, in fairness to him, McPhillamy is a very rare, unique name. So, but it's a part of the O'Neill clan. If I said O'Neill to him, he'd tell me exactly.
Okay.
What would O'Neill mean?
O'Neill. Well, O'Neill was the closest the Irish came to a High King of Ireland.
That's right. That's quite a highfalutin name if you're Irish. Then,
so
O'Neill,
I suppose I should be bowing down to Steve, really, you know?
Well, no need for that, Barry. But just to prove the theory, if I said I'm an O'Neill, you would say what county?
Oh, Tyrone.
And that's where my father's from. So you can see, we're able to tell, we didn't talk about this before the show, our clans, our families, never roved too far from their home territory.
Right.
Maybe it would be like a tribe over here, if someone said they were Navajo or Apache
thing,
or Mohawk, you'd know more or less where they were originally from.
Because you hear a lot of people talking about their family castle, their clan castle and so on.
Very true.
Does that relate to that?
Oh, yes. The chieftains had generally a castle or a seat of power.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Maloney and McPhillamy here about Ireland and your ancestry. And our phone number is 877-333-7425. Cheryl's on the line in Portland, Oregon.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Cheryl. Thanks for calling.
Okay, I've traced my family history back to 1805 to a gentleman called Henry Kerr. And so I was calling to find out, is Kerr a common Irish name? And if it is it a regional thing associated with a certain region in Ireland?
Your ancestry goes back 200 years, and Kerr, K-E-R-R, is the family name. What does that mean to you guys?
Yeah, well, both of us would say straight away that we know it's a northern name. Kerr's from the up in County Down. The interesting thing about Kerr, K-E-R-R, is that in Ireland, if someone gives you their surname, you can also tell whether it's Protestant or Catholic. But there's a few little exceptions, and Kerr is one of those where, through intermarriage, it could be Protestant or Catholic.
Okay.
If he went over in the 1800s, in 1805, I would put my mortgage or my house on it that he would have been a Presbyterian gentleman, more than likely, because your overwhelming amounts of Catholic Irish don't start emigrating until the 1830s, 1840s. When you said 1805, is that when he left Ireland?
No, that's when he was born, in South Carolina.
Oh, he was born in South Carolina.
Yeah, but I haven't been able to go back any further
in 1805.
Yeah, so if he's leaving in the 1700s, 99% chance he was a Scots-Irish Presbyterian.
Scots-Irish Presbyterian and from County Down.
Yeah, do you have any birth records for him in South Carolina?
Yeah, I think what I have is a digital copy of the census form that they were using at the time. That's where I got the information.
Yeah, you see, again, if he was from a northern Presbyterian background over there, the records that they have should be pretty good. There's a great website called irishgenealogy.ie. It's a government site. And it's bringing together baptismal records. They've even got hundreds of thousands of gravestone inscriptions scanned. So there's just so much information there that you can access, and it's free of charge.
All right, Cheryl, thanks a lot. Good luck on your quest.
Thank you.
She's the queen of the county down, the flower of
George is on the line in Adkins, Texas. George, thanks for your call.
I have had some success in tracing my Irish ancestors. The letter that had been sent to my mother was where I started, telling me that my O'Donnell ancestors were from Tipperary and the town that they were from. I had the benefit of living in Germany for a couple of years and was able to make several trips to Ireland and the particular town of Feathered, where I was able to find other relatives, both above and below ground, and were able to kind of tie it all together, you know, with a larger trip that took us to Kinsale, where the O'Donnells were defeated in the 1600s, and then finally to the O'Donnell Castle in Donegal, where our ancestors ultimately came from. The name of our ancestor, who turned out to be the 10th chieftain of the O'Donnells.
That's incredible.
George, you have any idea how your O'Donnell clan got the whole way from their homeland of Donegal in the northwest down to Tipperary in the center of Ireland?
Yes. Apparently what had happened, the story in Tipperary was that the O'Donnells, my family had come there, had fought at the Battle of Kinsale, and then on the way back to Donegal, knowing that their castle had already been burned there, and since they were defeated, that they would be hunted down by the English, they decided that the area of Tipperary they were in wasn't such a bad place.
Yeah, I often heard that in folklore, that many of the great O'Neill and the O'Donnell warlords, they were so sort of disgraced at losing that they didn't want to return to Ulster, or they felt that they were threatened. And then you'll see that if you drive through the middle of Ireland, you'll see stores, shops, businesses with O'Neill, O'Donnell. These are northern names. Like, there's a bar in Kinsale, you know, with a tap tavern run by Mary O'Neill.
Mary O'Neill.
O'Neills are not supposed to live in Kinsale in the deep south of Ireland. They're supposed to be up in the north in Tyrone, where they're from. So it's just an interesting accident of history.
After the catastrophe for the Irish cause against the English and the big... What year was the battle in Kinsale?
1601.
After that, they were so slaughtered and disgraced, they didn't even want to go back to the north of Ireland, and they just sort of melted into the...
Also, Rick, they were the most wanted men in Ireland.
That's true.
They were marked out by Queen Elizabeth as betraying her.
Yeah.
And so they played their cards. The cards were on the table, you know.
They just tried to melt into society then.
Yeah.
Just become shop owners or whatever.
Yeah, well, it was dangerous for them to go north, back to the north. George, have you ever seen the Disney movie about the O'Donnells?
No, I can't say that I have.
What's
it called?
It's called The Fighting Prince of Donegal. It was made by Walt Disney back in the 1950s.
Wow.
It's about Red Hugh O'Donnell, the greatest O'Donnell chieftain of all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the only real-life Irish person that Walt Disney ever made a movie about. It's about his escape from Dublin Castle as a teenager and his long trek back to Donegal. You'll have to get it on DVD because you'll be watching it 5 or 10 times. It's really a really brilliant movie. You might be also interested, just as a little anecdote, Walt Disney's family were supposed to be from County Carlow, not too far away from Tipperary. His Irish name was D'Isney. So he had great love for Ireland, Walt Disney. He also made a great movie called Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Oh, I know that one.
Yeah, about the leprechauns.
All right, George, thanks for your call.
Thanks, George.
You know, I feel like we're sitting around in a pub here. What a beautiful thing to be able to talk about, O'Neill, Maloney. And it's the springboard for a wonderful conversation that involves your culture.
Yeah, and can you see too, Rick, why a lot of our people in the travel industry in Ireland are saying, let's not be laughing at these people. Like George there on the phone had a great emotional attachment to Ireland. He's not just coming for a sun and sand holiday or coming to check out a couple of leprechauns or whatever or drink Guinness. He's coming because he has an emotional attachment to Ireland just as much as we have, just as much as Barry and I. So we should be embracing that because that's real positivity there.
Yeah.
Incredible the impact Ireland has had on this world. Little island, 3-5 million people. Fewer people now there than in the past, right? Isn't the population of Ireland less now than it was a couple hundred years ago?
Oh, yeah. I mean, pre-famine population was well above 8 million.
Above 8 million. So it's about half the population now.
Yeah. Yeah. We still haven't recovered our pre-famine population.
150 years later, still recovering from that. And then famine, so a lot of people died, a lot of people emigrated. Today, 40 million Irish Americans.
True. Like in the 70 years after the famine, 9 million people left Ireland. And that's more than the population that has ever lived in Ireland.
And travelers can go back and put that together in the context of their particular families.
A lot of Americans are interested in genealogy from all cultures, not just from Ireland. But Ireland is the only country that has had continuous emigration since the 1800s. Like the Swedish would emigrate maybe in the 20s, they'd peak and then they'd stop again. And then you don't see many Swedish emigrating in the 40s. The Dutch would go after their country was destroyed in World War II. You see them emigrating in big numbers. The Germans during the Great Depression, maybe after the First World War, maybe after the Second War, but then it stops. But the Irish, every single year from 1845 onwards, you've got continuous emigration. 2 out of every 3 Irish people born in the last 150 years have died somewhere else.
Fascinating. This is so much fun to talk about how Americans can really carbonate their travel experience by checking out their roots wherever they may be. And of course, Ireland is a very, very common destination in this regard. Barry, as a tour guide, what's one of the most gratifying moments you've had showing Americans around Ireland in search of their roots?
Well, Rick, just last year, I met Steve Ruddock from California, and he was coming back to my hometown, Kinsale, tracing his roots. He'd done some research, and really, he had an easy job, because Ruddock is a very unusual surname in Ireland, of English ancestry originally. But we really hit gold dust on the trail with him, because we discovered that his ancestors were the sovereigns of Kinsale, like the mayors of the town, a Norman title. And we traced his name. His name is inscribed on the church bell of our hometown, of my hometown.
Whoa.
And he was amazed.
When he saw that, what did he do?
Oh, he was amazed to see that. Well, I mean, he couldn't actually go up to the bell, but he met the rector of the church and spoke a lot about it.
Beautiful.
And I presented him with a photograph of it.
So his ancestors go back centuries in Ireland and then coming from England before that?
Yes, yes.
Stephen McPhillamy, what's a moment you have in your work as a tour guide in Ireland when it comes to an American finding their roots in Ireland?
Well, my proudest moment helping an American find their roots was two summers ago. A lovely family came on tour with me, a mother and two teenage daughters. They were African-Americans from one of your major cities. They're from the Midwest. They're from Chicago. And their father had just passed away, and their dad was an Irish-American. These two young girls, growing up here, because of the colour of their skin, will be classed always and naturally as African-Americans.
So wait a second, their dad was Irish and their mom was African?
Their mom was black, dad was white, but both okay. American. So they were coming to Ireland because they wanted... this in the society here that they're growing up, they're classed as African-Americans. Everyone perceives them as such. But these two young girls were as much Irish as anybody else. You know, their dad was an Irish-American. He had passed away. This was their first trip. They always had wanted to come to Ireland with their dad. They had gone to Africa and seen their African heritage. Now they wanted to come to Ireland, but sadly their dad passed away. He died of cancer before the trip. He deteriorated pretty rapidly. So for me, for 2 weeks, I was exposing them to their heritage, their music, their culture, their dancing. And I got a letter from their mum afterwards just saying, I really wanted to thank you because my young girls growing up, everyone puts them into the category of African Americans. They're very proud of that, but they're equally proud of their Irishness, and you gave them a chance to be exposed to that pride. And that made me feel very proud that our diaspora is not just white and Catholic, it's as much Protestant, it can be black, it can be anything. This is a huge diaspora, and that was my proudest moment.
Stephen McPhillamy, Barry Maloney, thanks so much for inspiring our listeners and inspiring me to give a little more thought to tracking our ancestry from wherever it may originate.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
Sláinte.
Man is alive, alive and breathing. Man is alive in me.
Next up, we'll head for the continent with the help of two Belgian-born guides. Prepare yourself for the highlights of the Low Countries. 877-333-7425. That's our number at Travel with Rick Steves.